believe yours. My heart squeezes in my chest. I love Meredith. I want her back. I really do.
Tell us, Ten. The second king waves in my direction. Speak the name, and I will do the rest.
Shadows writhe with more force. People chant. Animals call out. The generals stare daggers into my back. My nerves fry. Inside me, pressure builds.
I...
Deep breath in, out. I had already tentatively removed Elizabeth from the equation, but I do so with surety now. She's with her boyfriend, Klaus, and she'll have no desire to leave him. That leaves Orion, Levi, Meredith, and Archer. Who's it going to be? Loyalty, passion, liberty. Sow, reap. There's a name in my heart. The person I've wanted to pick from the beginning. The person I believe will most help this realm. Someone I would have picked already if my mind hadn't gotten in the way. Obsessing about the consequences of a wrong choice. Heart and mind might not agree, but I'm done worrying. I'm going to take emotion out of the equation and let my heart lead the way. The true Troika way. For better or worse, I announce,
I vote for Archer Prince.
Chapter 6. The only advice you should heed is your own. Myriad. 10. Behind me, the generals give a collective gasp of shock and disappointment, except for Luciana. With a scream of rage and horror, she falls to her knees. Beyond us, the crowd goes wild, a handful of people cheering, most others booing. My decision remains unwavering. With Archer at my side, peace between the realms isn't just a possibility, but a probability. Approval glows in Aaron's eyes, and I'm certain I made the right decision. Relief nearly buckles my knees, but mixed with relief is a tingle of dread. I'm still going to be punished by my haters, aren't I? Aaron speaks into my mind as clearly as if he's addressing the entire realm. Doing what's right isn't always supported by those around you. Even the most well-meaning people can stumble into darkness. Show your adversaries the light, Architect. Show them you are willing to fight for what you believe. Show them you will not back down. You will not cower. That is how you win. The reminder jolts me. I'm an architect. What does that mean exactly? Help me. A soft laugh. Not a day goes by that I don't.
The choice has been made. So she has said, so it shall be done.
This time, the Second King's words resound throughout the entire city, drowning out every other decibel of noise.
Behold, the resurrection of Archer Prince.
A bright light shines, blinding me. My world goes dark, but only for a second. As the light fades, the world comes back into focus. The Second King is gone. At least gone according to my eyes. Eyes do not always tell the full story. Across the dais, a doorway forms from air, as if one layer has been peeled away from another, revealing a whole new world. Through that doorway, I see the fantastical land of the rest, where a rainbow-colored sky glitters with thousands of stars. Dinosaurs roam, and peace isn't a hope, but a way of life. Is this really happening? Will Archer, a boy I've missed with every fiber of my being, walk through that doorway and join the living? Will he receive a second chance at second life? For a moment, one perfect stolen moment of time, I think I spy the others in that small doorway. Elizabeth, a tall, slender brunette, smiles at me, content. Meredith, a petite blonde, beams at me, as if she's proud of me. Levi, the tallest, all tanned and chiseled, nods in support. Tears scald my eyes, threatening to fall. I miss these guys so much. Then Archer steps through the doorway, and my heart stops thudding only to flutter with happiness. He's as tall as Killian, as packed with muscle, tanned like a surfer and blonde with copper eyes.
while Killian is raw seduction and rugged aggression, Archer is flawless beauty and tempered steel. I used to think of the two laborers as sinner and saint, but I was wrong. Like everyone else, both boys have their strengths and their flaws. Both deserve the best life has to offer, and both want what's best for their realm. They will choose love over war, and love will not let them down. With unsteady knees, I trip forward, my speed increasing until I'm running. Then I'm throwing myself into Archer's open arms, hugging him tight. He hugs me right back, and he's trembling just as violently. I breathe in his scent, clean cotton warmed by the sun. I love this boy like a brother. Since his death, a piece of my heart has been missing. Finally, he pulls back and shakes me. "Why?" he demands, his English accent slight but noticeable. "I mean, I know why. I just think you should have..." "No," I interject, the word little more than a croak. His eyes are different. The same color, just deeper, wiser, fathomless. "I did what I should have done. The war, I want peace between realms, Beau. You're going to help me." The first time we met, his gloriously masculine self was encased in the shell of a short, pink-haired girl he'd called Beau. The nickname stuck. "I need to catch you up on everything that's happened." "No need. I caught myself up before the vote. We all did. We watched playbacks of your life and the rest." "So you know I'm an architect." Just saying the word gives me pause. I clear my throat. "And that I'm kind of a married woman now. Oh, and that I also expect you to help save my husband." I drop each point all casual-like, as if, "Hey, no big deal." Meanwhile, my brain is shouting, "Huge deals." "Yes, on both counts. I knew about the promotion before you did." As he leans down, his eyes narrow. With his mouth at my ear, he whispers, "I also know your husband is here, in Troika, and I'd like 5 minutes alone with him, and a baseball bat." I straighten with a jolt. "Do you know where he is? Exactly?" When he doesn't respond right away, I grip his shoulders to shake him. He's wider than I remember, and more solid. But he's also weaker, the forced movements causing him to stumble. Ugh. "Well, do you?" I ask, dropping my arms to my sides. Mental note. Archer has just come back from the dead. He might not be in tip-top shape yet. "No. I tried to find him, but he's been expertly hidden. Zero." Frowning, I say, "Why do you want to hurt him? I thought you two were getting along before your death." "Hey!" someone shouts, drowning out Archer's reply. "What's wrong with our conduit? Where is her light?" "Tenley." Killian's voice suddenly rings inside my head. I jolt, air hissing between my teeth. "What?" Archer demands. I hold up one finger, asking for a moment. I attempt to push my voice at Killian. "Can you hear me? Are you all right? Do you know where you are?" The words glide along the bridge between our grids. At the same time, my shadows writhe all over again, paining me. No, not my shadows. I won't claim them. The shadows. The question I most want to ask, but don't. "Do you remember me? I need you. Find me, baby." "Baby?" The same non-endearment he used with Erica? My stomach twists into a thousand little knots, each leaking acid. He never calls me baby. A generic nickname any guy can use with any girl, as he's proven. What's more, my Killian never gently, tenderly asks me to find him. He demands I get my butt in gear, but also stay safe. So, unasked question answered. No, he doesn't remember me. Now I wonder, is he hoping to seduce me with this baby crap? Once upon a time he had a routine he used on every target Myriad assigned to him. "Welcome to my web," said the spider to the fly. What does Killian hope to gain from this? The words he spoke to me after our bonding rumble inside my head.
Why aren't you dead? My stomach does that horrible twisting thing. Does he still want to kill me? No matter. Whatever his goal, I'll deal. I'm on my way. Once again, for better or worse. Disappointment chills me when one second bleeds into another and there's no response. All right. I've given you enough time. Tell me what's going on, Archer says. Wait. Never mind. Let's put a pin in that topic of conversation. Why do the generals look like they want to murder you? You know I decided who would be resurrected, right? Half the crowd wanted me to choose Orion. The other half wanted me to choose Levi. They were using common sense, he mutters. Man, I'm taking hit after hit today. I could really use your help, Aaron. Luciana leaps to her feet and closes the distance between us. Seamus keeps pace at her side, menace in their every step. Alejandro stops Seamus, but no one makes a play for Luciana. Either her rage fuels the crowd, or the booers feed off each other, growing more incensed by the second. Soon, they're going to lose control and rush the dais. Aaron's words play through my head, and I receive a boost of strength. Show them you are willing to fight for what you believe. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not there. Do we not prize wisdom over emotion? I call. Allowing our feelings to direct us will only lead to mistakes. Aggression levels spike. Tension thickens the air. A suspicion lurks. What if I'm responsible for their upset? Not because of the vote, but because the shadows found a way into the grid. Ronan, Reed, and Clay leap onto the dais to form a protective circle around Archer and me. I hate that they're in danger, and I do my best to protect them with a beam of light. Once, I could have used a single beam to carry us to safety, but no longer. Ugh, what little light I have remains trapped inside me, held hostage by the shadows. What should we do? Clay's eyes are wild as the crowd stalks closer. How do we get out of here? Good question. Logic failed. I've got one other card to play. My exalted position. Everyone, calm down and be still, I shout, a command from a conduit. Now! I'm ignored, the crowds continuing to surge toward us. I send Clementine to the Eye, Ronan says. He palms two short swords. If we can keep everyone off stage for 3 minutes, 18 seconds, she can get a lock on us and transport us into another city. First, put your weapons away. We can't hurt our own people. We might have to hurt our own people. The first wave of protesters begin to climb onto the dais. Oh, wow. The first line is knocked to the ground as a pack of animals leaps forward. A pit bull is at the helm. The one I saw patrolling the area just beyond the Veil of Wings. He still looks like he's smiling. We go now! His nails click-clack against the dais as he prowls inside the circle. We go to safety! He's talking to me? Take my friends to safety. I need to find your man, I know. His dark eyes fill with admiration. I also know where he is being held. Had one of my pups follow General Seamus. So, we go now? Yes, yes, we'll go now. Flankers! He shouts. In seconds, the pack of dogs, wolves, lions, and tigers surrounds us, blocking everyone, including Luciana. What the? The animals are helping you now? Archer gasps out. Maybe? Or we're about to be mauled. Aaron assigned everyone a guardian. Hop on, the pitbull says. Whoa. Hop on to you? No, silly human. Les Cavaliers. Even as he speaks, a pack of zebras fights through the crowd and jumps on the dais. Six zebras, to be exact. Six. Three letters. 3 + 3 = 6. Black and white beauties. Wild yet tame. Pony Express to the rescue? Archer mumbles as he mounts the zebra closest to him. Okay, I'm game.
Run and Clay and Reed each mount a zebra of their own. I'm the only one to hesitate. I've ridden a horse, once, but not bareback. Maybe I should... Zero. Second-guessing this plan of action costs me. The zebras race forward, leaving me behind. Wait, I call. I've got you. Archer turns his zebra around, comes up beside me, and hauls me up. We jump from the dais. The gasping crowd parts, allowing us to land without causing or sustaining injury. The crowd continues to part as we gallop away. No one wants to be mowed down. Wind in my hair, a friend at my back. What a rescue. In front of us, Clay, Reed, and Ronan are sitting atop zebras of their own. One after the other, we blaze through a stairwell, then a gate, and end up in the Tower of Might, where destruction from the recent attack is rampant. One of the riderless zebras turns and enters the gate we just exited. I'm on my way, Killian. I wait, tense, but no response comes in. Did something happen to him? The dog keeps pace beside us. Message your Clementine. Tell her to hide us in the eye. The one who left us. He is erasing our tracks. First things first. Why are you helping us? Archer asks. I don't need a reason. I obey. Sending the requested message. The dog's tongue is hanging out as he pants, and yet he looks like he's smiling again. The girl. Number 10, who should be number 1. I'm her guardian. He's mine? Truly? His gaze flicks to me. You're overwhelmed, I know. You accept me. I get it. No need to gush. I'm the one smiling this time. Maybe I can gush a little? It's clear I got the best of the bunch. He preens. You did, didn't you? No question, I say. What is your name? And how did you get all these other animals to aid us? I'm Biscuit. He flashes his teeth in the most mischievous expression I've ever beheld. The others volunteered. That'll teach the citizens to reject us. Yes. Yes, it would. Is it rude of me to ask about your breed? I'm guessing pit bull, but I want to be sure. Why? He snaps. So you can tell me I'm too dangerous and... So I can wear the right I Heart My Dog t-shirt. He snorts. I sneaked a smell of your butt when you weren't looking. So we're past rude, I'm thinking. I'm a mutt. A mix of everything, but mostly pit bull, shih tzu, and... poodle. He grumbles the last, as if it's a shameful secret. I press my lips together. Do not laugh. Poodles are the worst of the worst, huh? He snaps his teeth at me, and I can't stop my laugh this time. I'm foaming at the mouth with envy right now, Archer says, and I swear he's almost pouting. I want a guardian animal. You have one, Biscuit says. She's waiting for you at our destination, guarding the Myriadian. He rubs his hands together with glee. What is she? A bear, lion, cheetah? No, she's worse. Her name is Beast. My dog, mine, says no more, but no other words are needed. Archer is vibrating with eagerness. As we whiz past a pile of rubble, my amusement fades, and sadness swells inside of me. All this debris. How many citizens did we lose? At least I can stop wondering about Nico. He may hate me for whatever reason, but at least I know he isn't trapped. I also ache for the realm itself. The Tower of Might used to be a treasure trove of skyscrapers and arenas, a blend of futuristic and ancient Rome. General Levi Nan trained me in this city. He taught me how to enter and remain inside a shell, which is a lot more difficult than it looks. He forced me to run for hours at a time, building my stamina. Mostly, he showed me that it's okay to ask for help. Knowing your limits doesn't make you weak. It makes you wise. And here? Here is where Killian saved my life. Myriad armies surrounded the realm, their shadows obscuring our outer light. Victor, Archer's younger brother, lured me here in order to kill me. If Killian hadn't fought his own men outside the realm, allowing a beam of light to shine through, strengthening me, Victor would have succeeded. Poor Archer. He must know about his baby bro. And oh, it must hurt.
Archer, I begin.
Tell me about Killian, he demands, about the bond. I'd say I can't catch a break, but I'm currently on the back of a zebra escaping an enraged mob.
I thought you knew everything already. And what's your new beef with him?
I asked before, but you never got a chance to answer. I learned some things while I was in the rest. Things he did to hurt others. Should have known.
He isn't that boy anymore.
Great, now I feel like a broken record. Archer ignores me, saying,
Indulge me.
I'd like to hear about the bond from your perspective.
Very well. As I tell him about the bonding ceremony and Killian's loss of memory, he grows stiffer and stiffer.
Before you tell me how foolish I was, I say,
Don't. I followed my heart.
No, you followed your feelings. The Myriadian way.
The old Archer would never speak to me so forcefully. But then, he isn't the person he used to be. He's grown a little harder, a little harsher.
So I'm not allowed to be happy? I demand.
At the expense of others?
No. You've put us all in danger, Ten.
No risk, no reward. I'm fighting for a better life, for all of us. I plan to...
That's just it, he interjects. You plan. But you've allowed no one else to make plans. Protections of their own. For all we know, you've kicked off a new Penumbra attack with your bond.
Ice crystallizes in my veins. Penumbra is a disease that infects humans and kills Troikens. Darkness invades the human body, and the more humans who are affected, the more light that is sucked from Troikens. If an infected human dies after making covenant with Troika, they are hooked to our grid. Maybe he's right. Maybe there will be a new outbreak of Penumbra, and I'll be the cause. Maybe not. Either way, my bond to Killian was the catalyst for the crowd's upset. I'm sure of it now. I welcomed the darkness into our midst, and because I project light to other Troikens, I now project darkness too.
I'm sorry, he says and sighs.
I didn't mean to upset you.
Only wanted you to see there are risks beyond your control. What's done is done and can't be undone.
I know it. You know it. We can only move on from here.
Hope for the best. Prepare for the worst, right?
He's using my own words against me. Words I'd spoken in my first life, after Myriad had hired men to shoot me down, and Killian had killed the assassins. To save me, yes, but mostly in retaliation. Threaten his stuff, pay the price. Not that I was his stuff.
No, you know what? I was part of his stuff, proudly, just like he was part of mine.
I'll figure something out.
I will. I must.
I'll die before I let harm come to someone else.
Pretty words. A soothing balm for your soul. Nothing more.
He's wrong. He is. But my tasks are mounting. Free Killian. Get him out of Troika unharmed. Help him get his memory back. Protect my people. Facilitate peace between the realms.
Tell me about Dior, he says.
Dior Nichols, a human med student and once the love of Archer's life. Oh, and I can't forget she's the reason the feud between Archer and Killian reheated. A feud that began years before. Two boys ended up in Myriad as infants, and though they grew up in different parts of the realm, they met and fell in bro love. Killian reached the age of accountability first, and made Myriad his permanent home. Then, the worst happened, in Killian's mind. Archer reached the age of accountability and opted to make covenant with Troika, leaving Killian behind. Killian had felt betrayed and lashed out. Archer was Dior's TL, and he did everything in his power to convince Dior to make covenant with Troika. Meanwhile, Killian did everything in his power to sabotage Archer's efforts. He manipulated, lied, and even issued threats against her loved ones. Terrible of him, yes. But his tactics worked. Only he did more than gain a new recruit. He gained a new enemy. Archer's love for Killian died that day. Recently, Myriad decided to use Dior against Troika, and me specifically, by infecting her with Penumbra. With the help of Princess Mariae,
Troika's only other conduit at the time. I kicked butt and took names, cleansing Dior. Of course, you can't help people if they won't help themselves. Despite putting my life at risk to save Dior, she allowed her boyfriend, the guy she'd started seeing after Archer died, in an effort to mend her broken heart, to infect her all over again. That boyfriend? Javier Diaz. The first abrogate in decades. My evil counterpart. What do you want to know? I ask. Levi would have told him all about Dior's attempt to defect to Troika. Blood for blood. To go to court, one life must be offered in exchange for another. Hoping to save Dior, Levi risked everything for her and paid the ultimate price. She forsook us and remained bound to Myriad. Have you seen or heard from her since court? Archer asks. No. What about the boyfriend? He sneers the last word. No. I wish I had more information for him, but I've been busy facing one disaster after another. What can you tell me about them? They're alive. He releases a heavy sigh. That's something, I suppose. After several twists and turns, we reach a neighborhood of small homes. Most were reduced to rubble, but a few are still standing. I've never been this deep in the city before, I say. Had no idea people lived on the fringes. Every city has gods that live on sight. He hops down, sways as if dizzy, then helps me to my feet. Their homes always surround the city's edges, creating a wall of protection. A chihuahua bounds over, growls at me, and races around Archer's feet.
Hello, hello, hello. You're here. You're finally here. I'm Beast, though I prefer Bee. Guess what? I'm yours, and you're mine.
Archer's gaze is as wide as saucers as it zooms to mine. As I cover my mouth with my hand to hold back a new round of laughter, Bee growls at me. Biscuit sighs and taps her head with one of his meaty paws, quieting her.
Go inside, he nudges me. My crew will fortify the outside of the home. Fair warning, though, despite our efforts, we will be found sooner rather than later, and we'll have to fight our way out.
Killian is inside? I ask, and I can't disguise the tremor in my voice.
We should get him and go.
Biscuit's wagging tail slaps my leg again and again.
Freeing him will take time and patience.
Well,
we'll stay then. Just do me a favor and wait out here for a bit, okay?
I want a little privacy with my... with Killian. Archer's nod is stiff, and Biscuit looks as if I kicked him in the ribs.
I'll make it up to the both of them, somehow. I rush past Ronan, Clay, and Reed, who are arguing about their guardian animals, and soar toward the house. I need to talk to Ronan about his promotion. Need to confirm that he is, in fact, a conduit. Later. My heart thuds against my ribs. Anticipation propels me faster and faster. I jump onto the porch and burst through the front door. Eagerness and dread join the emotional deluge. Ignore. Focus. Where is... There. My gaze finds him, and I nearly melt with relief. At the same time, I come alive with awareness. Every cell in my body aflame. He's alive and well. Seated on the floor, surrounded by metal bars. His expression portrays boredom. Icy eyes look me over, and heat.
There's my sweet baby, he says.
Chapter 7. Anger lasts but a moment. The things you do while angry can hurt others forever. Troika. Killian. I'm beyond frustrated. I'm trapped in a home with a ceiling made of glass. Light streams into my 8x8 cage, which occupies a single corner. Normally standing in sunlight while in spirit form brings pain. Today I can tolerate the beams with only mild discomfort. Another perk of my bond to Tenley. As she looks me over, her relief is quickly replaced by a blend of fury and horror. Her mismatched iris is hunted and haunting all at once. What I expect to see but don't? Fear. In the small house furnished with only a couch, two chairs, and a table piled high with study guides, she is a treasure. Basically, she's my only source of hope.
I hoped Biscuit was mistaken, but no, she says. Seamus caged you like an animal.
At her sides, her hands fist. Biscuit, I know of no one by that name. Tenley seems genuinely upset on my behalf, and I'm not sure what to think of that. Girls desire me or obsess over me, determined to win what I refuse to give. Truth, commitment, affection. But no one has ever truly cared for me, because no one has ever truly known me. Not the real me, anyway. She must think she has a handle on my deepest, darkest secrets and desires. I don't need my memory to know she doesn't. She can't. One, I can barely handle them myself. If I struggle, well, she's definitely not strong enough. Two, she's no different from other girls. If you've been with one, you've been with them all. The very reason it's always so easy to walk away.
Are you all right?
Tenley asks. I spent the last however many hours locked in a cage, I reply, my tone sharp. What do you think?
I think you'll recover just fine.
I've been scouring my mind, fighting my shadows, fighting to recall who I am. More and more of my past has surfaced, though no interactions with Tenley. What is truth and what is lie? Who has my best interest at heart, the shadows or the light? The two war. Always they war. What one loves, the other hates. What one wants, the other opposes. One fact needs no clarification. I'm not a very nice person, I say. It's not like she hasn't figured out that particular gem. I'm rude when I want to be, charming when I need to be, and always self-serving. If I won't look out for my best interests, who will? Why are you here helping me?
You're a good guy, she says, sounding confident. You just haven't figured it out yet.
No, she's wrong. Not only have I seduced women and lied about my feelings, I've also killed in battle just for grins and giggles. I've tortured countless Troikans for information and for vengeance. I've convinced humans to make the worst possible covenants with Myriad. For a bonus, yes. Whatever a laborer is able to cut from a human's covenant, he can keep. But also for bragging rights. I've turned negotiation into a blood sport. I am no prize. Tenley Lockwood should have run from me at our first meeting and never looked back. But here she is, flying through the door of my prison, and my body's reaction is immediate. I feel as though I've been hooked to a generator. My heart races, my blood heats, and my muscles vibrate over bone. I'm tense, waiting for some sort of blow to the solar plexus. I hate it, almost as much as I love it, but at least I don't have to wonder why. The bond. Always the bond. I have no doubts about its validity now. Forget everything else. We can push our thoughts into each other's minds. A Troikan and a Myriadian. Should be impossible. So, for some reason I haven't yet decided on, I pledged my everlife to this girl. Even more astonishing, she pledged her everlife to me. Why? And why did she come back for me? Earlier I threatened to kill her. Anyone with half a brain would stay as far away from me as possible, even if I called her baby and asked for help. As if I'm without other options.
This brings back memories, she says.
I arch a brow, doing my best to hide the depth of my curiosity. Must know. Do tell.
You've been kenneled many times in your everlife, and you despised every instance.
I remember. Yes, kenneling is a custom in Myriad. Cage is stacked upon cage. Punishment is given for breaking the realm's only rule, putting personal desires above the good of Myriad. A few times my jailer told me he would release me if I begged. I broke his nose instead. I beg for nothing, not even my freedom. Helplessness is the one feeling I've never embraced, but I will never compromise my pride. I'd honestly rather die. Wait, there is another emotion I abhor. The worst of the worst. Love. Love involves trust, and I trust no one. I realized it before, but with the few memories I've regained, I'm more certain now. People never stick around. Everyone bails because selfishness is ingrained at birth and only gets worse with age. Tenley steps to the side, allowing a ray of light to shine upon me. An image suddenly flashes through my mind. Chains string her up, and crimson blood leaks from her nose, mouth, and ears. Sweat drenches her, and her clothes are torn. She's being tortured, but she isn't breaking. Fire still crackles in her eyes. All right, she might be stronger than I thought. Admiration sneaks in. I fight it even as I say, "How about you come over here?" I keep my tone light, my voice husky, almost seductive. "And free me. Conversation is overrated. I can think of better things to do with our mouths."
"Freeing you is the plan," she says. "Even though I kind of want to throat punch you right now."
I blink with shock and disappointment. Not about the threat. Bring it. "What is wrong with you? Care about your realm at least a little. Do not loose a wolf among sheep." More shock, more disappointment. In myself. I'm warning her now. What's wrong with me?
"I can handle you."
She makes a gesture that is 100% dismissive and 0% acceptable.
"Where's my ring? And what happened to your accent?"
Her ring? She must mean the small antique five-shooter that General Seamus took from me, despite the lack of bullets. I wanted to kill him for his daring, and thank him. My head and heart had threatened to change places every time I looked at that stupid ring. Good riddance. "What do you think happened to the ring?" I smile a cruel smile. "Seamus removed it, along with my daggers and the garrote wire that was hidden in my leather wrist cuffs. Leaving me armed would have made him a fool." I ignore the question about my accent. No need to tell her about my lower birth or how my speech patterns are proof that I spent most of my childhood inside a Myriadian orphanage, nothing but a drain on society. Her lush red lips purse.
"Right now you remind me of the boy I first met. I bet you even trust the lies Myriad has fed you, right?"
She doesn't wait for my response.
"Once again, you believe fusion is legit."
"Once again, try always." "I do. It is." She smirks.
"I'm about to prove spirits that experience second death never return to the land of the harvest."
I roll my eyes. "Let me guess. The vote everyone is talking about. Someone has come back to life. Hate to burst your smug little bubble, baby, but just because Troikans enter into the rest doesn't mean Myriadians do the same." Her head falls back, and she pushes a heavy breath at the ceiling, as if praying for patience. Facing me, she says,
"Forget the light and shadow thing. Our people are the same, and stop calling me baby."
"You're right. We are the same. Baby." I motion to my cage with a wave of my hand. Troikans praise love and forgiveness, and yet they keep prisons inside their homes. How very Myriadian. Up goes her chin.
"We have rules. When those rules are broken, measures must be taken. Punish the guilty, protect the innocent."
I arch a brow. "Are you protecting innocents now? I mean, you plan to free me?" "Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up." Am I trying to stop her? But I can't halt my next flood of vitriol. "Why are you really here? You claimed you loved me not, and told me not to trust you." Shame tightens her exquisite features, and I experience a jolt of regret. What is wrong with me? I never regret, but I want to see her smile. I don't know her, not really. But between one blink and the next, I remember she has three different types of smiles. The one reserved for her friends, genuine and open, rare. A cold facsimile for those who have pricked her temper. And the special one for me alone that is soft and plaintive, inviting me to taste. That one. I want to see it now. I feel as if my life depends on it. Something searing my chest. Branding, burning. Just like before. This time there's no denying the truth. The culprit is absolute, utter yearning. I want to see that smile because my reasons do not matter. I want only what I need. Want nothing, need nothing. I gnash my teeth.
I couldn't let the generals know how much you mean to me,
she says softly.
They're trying to use my feelings for you against me. As for the poem, my Killian would have known there are two sides to every story, and the order could be reversed.
Her Killian, as if I belonged to her, or rather the old me, a version I'm suddenly not sure I want to be ever again. You're lying. No way the order can-
I love you.
She interjects, starting with the last line of her poem. She's slipping the order, I realize.
Never, ever believe that I love you not. Listen, hear me now. We will get through this. You must know sweet lies flow from my lips when I say I will let you go without hesitation. I admit, you are my everything, and today, tomorrow, forever, I will put you first. I'm lying when I say you cannot trust me.
My throat tightens, and my lungs constrict. This girl isn't like others, not even close. She's not like anyone I've ever known. How am I supposed to deal with her? She kicks into motion and stops at the door to my cage. I haven't moved from my perch and back. The part of me that I no longer understand longs to stand up, close the distance, and sift her fall of azure hair between my fingers. The other part of me comprehends the absolute ridiculousness of such a desire. What good will contact do? As she fiddles with the lock for a bit, learning it, I can see the wheels in her head turning. She thinks she can find a way to bypass Seamus's blood and fingerprint. A sharp pang lances my chest. How is she even more beautiful than before? Even a second before? It's maddening. But it doesn't matter. My calm is functional, and I've already made contact with my leader. My mission is clear. Get Tenley Lockwood inside Myriad. What the powers that be have planned for her, I don't yet know. Don't really care. Yeah, I know whatever befalls her will befall me as well, but I don't care about that either. There's no fighting fate. If I die, I die. My spirit will fuse with a human, and I will be reborn. Maybe this time I'll live past infancy and actually experience first life. Maybe I'll fuse with a leader or even a general and better my station. Once the Prince of Ravens believed I was fused with a general, but as weeks passed, I failed to control the darkness in myself as well as others. I let him down. I let everyone down. Victors are adored, failures abhorred. Maybe if I have a better station, someone will be obligated to care about me. Perhaps my new mother. Out with the old, in with the new. I'll finally have a family of my own. Not that I want a family that is obligated to care for me. No, I'd rather have what so many others take for granted. Unconditional acceptance. An impossible dream, most likely. We are what we are, whatever our form. Still, hope can be stronger than reality. Tenley grips the bars of my cage, her knuckles quickly leeching of color.
I wasn't going to ask, but I can't help myself. No, that's not true. We can always help ourselves. We simply choose not to. So, I'm asking because a part of me is desperate to know. Have you remembered anything about me yet?
Yet, She considers a successful reboot of my brain inevitable. I wish I had her confidence. I need the return of my memories, even if I don't want to be the boy I once was. I need to know why I did what I did exactly, what I had planned. Surely I had something planned. And what I deemed as my endgame. Myriad's salvation, or my own. Myriad, surely. How many times have I tried to impress my second king? I've pushed myself hard, won more spirits than most, but I'm still one among millions. A simple cog in the wheels. A part of me would like to impress Tenley instead. What would it take? In the past 5 minutes alone, she's proven to be honest and raw, refusing to wallow in self-delusions about her motives while accepting the consequences of her words and actions. She's flawed, human, and yet everything others should strive to be. Ambrosine isn't human or flawed. He is power. When he glides into a room carried on a cloud of darkness, spirits drop to their knees unbidden, no longer able to stand. Shadows continually rise from him, his constant companions. One look into his eyes, deep, fathomless pools, and you are forever entranced. I haven't remembered anything about you. No. I tell her, knowing she'll see through a lie. I lower my voice, letting it become a husky rasp once again, a voice meant to seduce. The ridiculous thing. Every part of me is on board. Longing for her capitulation for reasons that have nothing to do with war. The only thing I have to force is my accentless speech. But I'm determined to remember everything. I'm given that cold facsimile of a smile.
You can be such a jerk sometimes.
Well, that certainly wasn't the reaction I expected.
How am I being a jerk right now?
Especially when I pretended to be nice. Pretense is never the answer. I grind my teeth.
You think I don't know you, but you are so wrong.
She crouches, pulls a dagger from a sheath anchored to her waist and stabs the edge of the lock.
Before our bond, you looked at me like I was a meal and you were ravenous. Right now you're looking at me like I'm an experiment. And you're hoping to take home first prize at the science fair. It hurts, Killian.
My darker side. Play on those hurts. Win her to your side. Use her. My new lighter side. Ease her. Help her. She is your ally. The two sides of me war, shadows dancing with my synapses, sending bolts of pain through my temples. Light fighting back, marching forward to cover more ground. I decide to go with the familiar, calling on the determination I've been praised and cursed for possessing.
I can't no look at you, baby.
Unfortunately, the statement is true on more levels than I'm comfortable with, and why is my accent trying to come out to play? She scowls, somehow more beautiful than ever.
Call me baby. One more time, she says, and I'll remove your testicles to make a coin purse. And by the way, you don't remember this about me, obvi, but I never make threats. I make promises.
Her tone is pure sass, and I like it. For a moment, a suspended blip of time, the corners of my mouth twitch as if I'm about to smile.
Am I?
Threats? Or promises, are not something I take lightly, ever. Kill or be killed, that is my wheelhouse.
What's your problem with being called baby? It's a sweet endearment. It's generic, and it implies I can't survive without my big, strong daddy.
She sneers the word as if it tastes foul in her mouth.
She has daddy issues. Got it.
But she's not the only one. My father killed himself weeks before my birth, ending his first life. With the terms of his covenant, he made it into Myriad rather than many ends. Though he'd been a trainee in Myriad, a laborer just like me, he had the option of taking me in. I'm told he refused and signed away all rights to me. Later I repaid him in kind. We were part of the same army, under the command of Madame Pearl Bennett, who later experienced second death. He desperately needed my help during a particularly nasty battle. Instead of acting as his shield and stopping his opponent's lethal blow, I turned my back and focused on a target of my own. Payback hurts. I sometimes wonder what my mother would say about my actions. She met my father in some kind of myriad-based get-happy program while battling depression. I visited the Hall of Annals countless times to read about her life, and according to her files, she considered her dalliance with my father a mistake, but a mistake she could not regret. Even before my birth, she loved me. For the first time in her remembrance, she wasn't sad, but overjoyed, excited. Because of me, she had hope for a better future. But fate had other ideas for her. Caroline Flynn died within minutes of giving birth to me. My chest constricts, breathing a little more difficult. I've watched the video of my birth, watched her nuzzle my cheek and coo to me as she bled out. Before a child reaches the age of accountability, parents decide his or her fate. Caroline had a covenant to Myriad, ensuring I would follow her to the realm. And I did, 2 days later. The medication she'd taken while pregnant affected my heart, or so I've been told. Deep down, I think I'd known I lost something. Someone precious. And my heart broke. I know beyond a doubt Caroline would have taken me in, but again fate had other ideas. Even in the Everlife, her spirit was too weak to sustain her, and she experienced second death within days of her first.
Killian.
Tenley's gentle voice invades my mind, causing my memories to scatter. I focus on her wanting to lash out and hug her at the same time. What is this strange pull she has on me?
Be honest.
I say, unable to mask the croak in my voice. Tell me how you convinced me to bond with you. What leverage did you have?
Me? Convince you? She snorts. Baby, you practically begged me.
I run my tongue over my teeth, not liking the baby endearment either. You lie. I would never beg you or anyone for anything. A glimmer of sadness appears in her mismatched eyes, only to vanish as she rallies.
No, you wouldn't.
Gaze pointed, she adds.
You asked, and I said yes, because you are one of the best people I know. You are strong, and you are kind. Sometimes. You fight for what you want, never back down. Your courage astounds me. The lengths you'll go to for the ones you love amazes me.
My heart thuds against my ribs. She's lying. Of course she's lying. I can't be one of the best people she knows.
But every fiber of my being wants to believe her. We married because we love each other, but also because I need to get inside Myriad.
She says,
trust me. You want me there too. We must dethrone Ambergene.
Myriad is all I have. I'd rather die than lose my place.
I would never agree to dethrone. And we must get inside many ends, she continues, quieting me. Many ends is connected to Myriad, and we both believe your mother is trapped there. We plan to rescue her, together. And we can. I know we can. I've been to many ends before, 3 times to be exact. On my final trip, I rescued 2 spirits who now live in Troika.
She pauses, chews on her bottom lip, and looks up at me through a thick fan of her lashes, hopeful.
Any of this ringing a bell?
Breathing becomes a little more difficult. My mother trapped in many ends, the equivalent of hell. Truth? A falsehood? Falsehood, definitely. Anger froths inside me. I must have told Tenley about my mother's first and second death. Or she did some digging and learned all on her own. Either way, the result is the same. She used the information against me. And I let her. Tenley Lockwood thinks to manipulate me because she has power over me, power that has nothing to do with the bond. What if she finds the human fused with my mother? What if she hurts my mother? The anger heats, turning into fury, my cells becoming bombs and exploding. With a snarl, I leap to my feet. Menace in every step, I approach her. She straightens, but she doesn't back up. When I reach the bar, she raises her chin, stubborn to the core, and I almost admire her. Who am I kidding? I do. I admire her. But I won't stop. Though I'm without a single weapon, I'm far from helpless. I can kill an entire contingent of soldiers with my bare hands. And have. Silent, we stare at each other. Shadows protest such close proximity to her. My bride. The bond warms and tingles, empowering the light inside me. I don't care. Tension crackles in the air, so thick I can feel tendrils of it brush against my skin, sensitizing my nerve endings. She feels it too. Her inhalations grow shallow, her chest rising and falling in quick succession. She's tall for a girl, but I dwarf her. I have a good 100 pounds of muscle on her too. I could easily overpower her. And yet, just then, overpowering her isn't what I crave. The fact that she doesn't back down. Well, I'm impressed. Before our bond, someone in Myriad told you the identity of the human your mother's spirit is supposedly fused with. A teenage girl. She says, her voice as calm and steady as before. You tracked her down and decided she couldn't possibly be the woman who had given birth to you. Couldn't even be half of her. So I told you my suspicion. Fusion is a lie Myriadians tell, to cover up the fact that they wind up in Minians after second death. Please. I would know if Minians was connected to Myriad. Because you know everything? Because you're never wrong? Because no one in Myriad has ever been dishonest for personal gain? Which is it, Killian? 1, 2, or 3? She grips the bars of the cage and shakes. Maybe all. A lie cannot stand forever because its foundation is fundamentally cracked. When a storm comes, the lie will crumble and fall, and only the truth will remain. I don't want to answer her questions or respond to her analogy, but for some reason I don't want to lie to her, or hurt her either. Wanting her off guard, I reach out and place my hands over hers. She gasps, but still she doesn't back down. Her gaze zooms to my wrist, to the horse branded there. Have we had sex yet? I ask with enough sneer and leer to enrage a saint. Her gaze jerks back up, meeting mine. Twin pink circles stain her cheeks. The blush quickly spreads to her neck, covering the pulse, hammering at the base and along her collarbone. How I would love to strip her, find out just how far that blush travels. No, she snaps. We were waiting until we could touch without our shells. As we're doing now. Interesting, considering I've never waited for anyone. You said you'd wait forever for me. Another lie, except I've never wanted anyone this intensely. Slowly, so slowly, given her time to avoid me, if that is her choice, I lift my hand toward her face. She merely lifts her chin another notch. The closer I get to contact, the tenser we both become. Then my fingertips are on the rise of her cheekbone. A tremor rocks her at the same time that white lightning arcs through me. White lightning. Pleasure. Undiluted bliss. With a grunt, I drop my arm to my side to sever contact. I'd wanted to tease her as well as put her on the defensive by saying something smarmy like, "We can touch now. How about you hit your knees, baby, and drink me down?" At the moment, I can't work a single word past the lump growing in my throat. The front door of the house suddenly bursts open, and a new snarl leaves me. Archer Prince, a boy I despise with every fiber of my being, stomps inside, a massive white and brown dog at his side. A tiny chihuahua trails behind them. My mind locks on a single thought. Archer was dead, and now he's alive. I watched him die. We were in the middle of a battle and... Shadows sink their claws into the memory, distorting my view of it. I wince.
I said I would prove spirits that experience second death never return to the land of the harvest. Well, here is my proof.
Tenley sounds almost smug.
Fusion is a lie.
For Troikens, at least. Now she sputters for a response. Not by word or deed do I reveal she's set my mind on